Mentored by some of the best minds in entrepreneurship in the world, then you're listening to the right podcast, Ditch Digger CEO. We're going to be interviewing CEOs and founders who will be telling their amazing rags-to-riches stories. These entrepreneurs who dominate the industries they serve will be sharing the secrets to their success. We'll be talking to millionaires and billionaires, many who started with nothing. You're going to be mentored with golden nuggets of shared experiences from my guests, whose time is worth thousands and even tens of thousands of dollars per hour. I started in the paving business right out of high school, and with no college education, mentorship has been my education of choice. I started over 25 companies in the last 20 years, have generated over $1.5 billion in revenues. My guarantee is this: if you listen to Ditch Digger CEO and you want to be more successful, you will become more successful. The secrets of my success and for many of the world's greatest business leaders will be revealed. Let Ditch Digger CEO mentor you. Hey, welcome to Ditch Digger CEO. Chris, we got a character today, don't we?
We sure do. He looks awful familiar as well.
Yeah, he's kind of goofy looking, but you know what? He's a good dude. Looks aren't everything.
Been on before, welcome. But aged a little bit.
Welcome to Ditch Digger CEO. We got one of my favorite people in the world on today, my son, Austin Rabin, as some people call him. I call him Rabine. And Chris is going to do a lot of this interview. He's going to ask a lot of the questions. But we interviewed Austin how long ago, Chris?
Four years ago.
So a lot's happened in 4 years at the Rabine Group and the life of Austin Rabine and myself and the Rabine Group of companies. So we're going to talk a little bit about maybe a little bit before we left off last time. So we'll go back, you know, we'll go into a little history with Austin and then get into the scoop and where we're at today. So Austin, welcome to Ditch Digger CEO, baby.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be back.
Thanks for being on. Austin, we'll go through, kind of go back again, like we, you know, kind of a little bit of upbringing history. Some people won't listen to that first podcast, so we'll get that. And then Chris will ask questions mostly. I'll jump in because I can't keep quiet for too long. And we'll go through it. We'll get this done in about 50 minutes. Chris will write down. I'll write down some nuggets, gold nuggets that we picked up that hopefully everybody can learn from. Got it?
Yeah. Got it.
All right. Cool. Chris, fire away, dude. Get them going here.
Austin, thanks so much for joining us again, man. How have you been for the last 4 years? We haven't talked to you since the interview,
obviously. Yeah, I haven't touched base with you guys in 4 years. There's a lot's happened.
It's wild, dude. The only way we can communicate is through podcasts. So.
Yeah, father and son should talk more often than that, you know, Chris. But you know what? We're busy guys, and he just doesn't love me that much.
it's been good. A lot's happened. I mean, I think that when I was on that last podcast, I would have still been CEO and running just Site at that time. Which started in 2017. So Site started within the Rabine Group of companies. And then 2018, I spun it out and my dad and I founded it. And I really just focused on that business for 2 years. And then 2020, my dad was kind of ready to take a step back and retire, and he was getting bored of what he was doing.
We don't use that word retire. I didn't retire.
No, did not retire, but took the chairman role and I took over in the day-to-day as CEO of the Rabine Group of companies. And so I've been running that for the last 3 years since early 2020, right before COVID. He saw that coming, and I think that he wanted to get out of here and not deal with the COVID wrath. So I took over just before that, and it's been great. I mean, you know, COVID was super tough, of course, like it was on most businesses. But we came out of it really strong, and we've grown every year since then significantly. And yeah, it's been a lot of fun. We hired a CEO at Sight who's kind of running the day-to-day there, brought on a guy, Dan, that's doing a great job to continue, you know, focusing every day on Sight. I still work with him regularly and the Sight team, but really kind of more of a, from a strategic level and then day-to-day for the rest of the Raybine companies.
Hey, Austin, real quick, and Chris, I want to make sure it says, you know, we really focus on top 1% companies as much as possible. We have, you know, we have some companies that might not be the top 1% of the industry, but that's mostly what we focus on. And even when we interviewed you, Austin, back then, really nobody was in that business. Number one, you're running Raybine Paving America, which is top in the industry at the time before this. And then you went to running, starting being the startup CEO of Sight and the co-founder of Sight. Okay, well, you know, we looked at that as number one, you were already running a company that was top 1% in the paving, parking lot paving industry. And then at that point we interviewed last time, as small as Sight was, there was really nobody doing what you were doing. So, you know, to say top 1% or top one, it was a no-brainer. Now we both had a vision and we thought it could go crazy, and it has. So we loved it. I mean, I, you know, Chris, you can go on, but I just want to make sure that, you know, we talk about that, how, you know, how this business is really topping in space right now and growing, and how Raybine Paving is probably taking, even in the paving businesses, have taken bigger market share also. So.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you know, since then we've, you know, we had a vision of what Sight could be. I mean, we were just really just focused on pavement assessments for property managers, property owners across the country. And we knew that eventually we could go anywhere in the world with it. And since then we've done that. I mean, we're doing pavements, we're doing roofs, facades. We're starting to work on HVAC assessments, solar assessments, kind of full exterior assessments and budgeting tools. And we're in multiple countries now. So we're all over the US, we're in Canada, Mexico. We're in, I think, 6 or 7 different countries in Europe, Asia. And so we've really been able to expand that business a lot. We just brought in some strategic partners that invested in the business. And that was really exciting because it was kind of, you know, when I first really just started focusing on Sight, one of our big customers, Prologis, was somebody that, you know, we just thought was a really cool company. I tried to network with them as much as I could and meet as many people as I could within the organization. And, you know, fast forward to today, where they're a strategic partner of ours and we're growing globally with them. And so it's been a lot of fun. There's been, you know, a lot, lots happened.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Well, let's definitely dig into some of that coming up here soon, but I am curious, you know, going back to the beginning, like how did you come up with the idea for Sight? How did you know that this was a much needed service in the industry?
Well, so we had been doing like similar services for a long time. So you know, and my dad can speak probably better to the founding of this service. But I mean, you know, Dad, you were doing this for what, 20 years? Prior, 15 yeah. years prior?
Yeah, probably 15 years prior, we started basically helping customers understand the engineering principles of pavements and basically how to make their pavements last longer, how to fix pavements that were totally, you know, in terrible shape at a young age of 4 or 5 years, parking lots would be shattered in terrible shape. So we'd go in and assess and figure out the problems and then help them with long-term planning. And that was got to be kind of expensive, as Austin found out as he entered the business. And then go ahead, Austin, from there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and so we were still doing those for a long time, all the way up until, you know, 2016, 2017, where we'd send a pavement expert or project manager out to a facility. They would walk the property, take measurements, take a bunch of photos with their phone, or even when this process first started, it was just with a, you know, a digital camera. And then come back into the office, they'd put together this really, you know, a nice report and that the customers loved that would show the problem areas, give them a condition of the pavement, tell them how much they needed to spend, how much they should budget for the next, you know, the current year, and then looking forward for 5 years. And it was a great service that, again, our customers really loved. It was just really time consuming and it was expensive to perform those. So once we started to do it more on a national level, we were doing it for Lowe's distribution centers, and we'd fly these people all over the country. And every like 4 years, they'd probably have us redo these reports. And it would take 7 or 8 months to put these together. So, you know, by the time we started, put the reports together, finally delivered it, it'd be 7 or 8 months by the time that was done, and lots of travel, time, plane tickets. So it was also really expensive. And when we first started, we started to play around with GoPros. Like we would send out somebody with a GoPro to walk a parking lot. We actually sent video cameras out to some of our local partners, and they would put the camera on the front of their car, and they would drive the parking lot with their car. So we were trying all these different things to figure out how we could capture data faster and you know, more efficiently than we currently were, because we knew that this process and this service was really valuable to our clients, because they had no idea what was going on their properties. And then eventually a friend of my dad and I's had reached out to us that was working with a company that they were investing in that was a drone network, essentially, and they had drone pilots all throughout the country. And we started to work with them to figure out, could we capture the pavement with the drone and get all of the information and all of the visuals that we needed to put together a similar report for our clients. And that took a few months of trial and error. And finally, we felt really good about where we had gotten it. And it was around that time that my dad and I were having conversations about just not just the opportunity with pavements, but the opportunity to take this across, you know, in all assets of a facility, the roofs, the, you know, every exterior piece of a facility, and be able to get information better, cheaper, better data. And then it's all digitized as well, right? So now it's not a PDF that they're receiving with an Excel file. Now they log into a platform, they can see all of the images, they can visualize it, they can see the pavement that, you know, they wouldn't be able to see otherwise, along with getting tons of good data and information. So that's kind of when we said this, you know, this is a huge opportunity, and we really should spin it out as its own business so that we can build a team around it and focus on it. And it wouldn't get, you know, caught in the, in the rest of the group, because, you know, if there's not focus on it, then, you know, it's easy to kind of lose sight of what you're trying to do. No pun intended with sight, but yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So that's kind of where it came from. And we had tested it out with a number of clients initially, and the feedback that we had gotten was, and at that time it was really just pretty, you know, elementary levels of showing the visualizations and what we had built. And even from that very beginning point, we had a ton of customer interest from large property owners. And that's really when we said, okay, this is something that we need to focus on and, you know, really build out as a great property technology business.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's so many verticals of this, Chris, Austin is building with Dan, or Dan, our CEO, the day-to-day guy, is an awesome guy. And we'll interview him eventually here too. But there's so many different verticals that we're learning are viable verticals to this thing. Every single thing you can think about around a building can be measured now, right? The metrics can be built to not just understand existing conditions, right? But then also long-term planning and urgent needs and budgets and all that, right? And then on top of that, you know, Austin's vision was to really get into the nitty gritty and actually do warranties on this, where you fly a property and anything that's under warranty pops up and you can see how much life is left in the warranty and what type of condition the pavement, roof, or facade is in as you look at the warranties, right? And then when a problem happens, the goal is for this thing, and again, we're getting there, there's a red flag, any problem. So the customer and a contractor who might have done the work can see a red flag saying, there's something wrong, right? Something wrong with this. You better fix it. It's got, you know, 2 years left in the warranty and it's looking like garbage, right? So anyway, there's so many cool things and so many directions we can go into. It's amazing. And Austin's been having fun as the leader of all our businesses now, kind of overseeing this and every other business, right?
Yeah. Austin, so I mean, obviously, it's a great idea, and it evolved organically from, walking to driving to flying. How did you convince the Ditch Digger CEO himself that this was the right move?
Well, I had to put it in numbers. I mean, really, it was because when we started out, it's kind of like, okay, how much would a customer pay for this, right? When you start to think about the cost of capturing the information, the time spent by the engineer that still needs to go through and review all of the images and put together a scope of work, which, by the way, has been cut drastically because we've applied AI to automatically detect a lot of those things. So that time and effort has been cut significantly. But really, we had to start talking to customers and say, what kind of value does this bring to you? And what a service like this, what would you pay for a service like this or the platform like this? And then, when we came to that number of, about the average cost per building that we realized somebody would pay, and then you start to look at doing market research around how many, buildings, commercial, industrial, retail buildings are there in just the US, the market, is really big. So really, once we finally started to put the numbers down on paper and look at it, that really showed us what the market opportunity was for a company like this. And that's just on the real estate side. There's municipalities that is, kind of a future direction of this business. We've talked about utilities down the road and things like that, but for now, staying very focused on what we know, and like I said, showing him that market opportunity, I think was the big thing that the big driver. And then, of course, the Rabine Group, motto from that my dad put in place really early on of discover the difference, and now it's innovating to serve. That also, is obviously something that we're always looking at, and this was a great new innovation and tool that we could bring to the industry that nobody else was providing.
Gary, what was it like to first hear about this idea?
Yeah, no. So I mean, I'm like any old school guy that's been in the business. We all think that we're so valuable that you have to have us walk in a site to figure out everything's going on the property, right?
Right.
It creates value, personal value in ourselves that we think is abundant value, right? But gosh, if you can take that intelligence and put it in a computer, computer learning, artificial intelligence, and fly a property, it becomes way safer, right? Way more efficient. Like Austin says, that let's say the Lowe's portfolio industrial properties maybe took, like you said, 8 months to do. How many properties, Austin? 50 or something across the country?
It was like 37 properties.
So, okay, 37 properties. How many properties like that could you do in a month now, Austin, that
Yeah.
business? How many?
We've done, I think the most that we've done is 1,200 in a month. And
Okay, so.
we consistently do about 1,000 a month.
So about 1,000 a month compared to 37 in 8 months, right?
Yeah.
Without a lot more engineers, actually, right, Austin?
Yeah, I mean, I would say probably about the same number at this point because of the AI that's been built. Now, the engineer isn't having to look at thousands of pictures like they were when we first started. They had to go through looking at all of these different images and identifying the defects in the pavements and the roofs. And now the AI does 90% of that. So we capture the imagery, it runs through the AI, and it tells us where the defects are, what the defects are. It's also quantifying them, and then gives us a kind of a certainty factor that then the engineers come in and they review that final report and they say, okay, is this accurate? Are there any adjustments that need to be made to what the AI has given us? And then really what their job becomes is more customer facing than just internal facing, because now they're having conversations with the property owner or property manager about what are their goals about the facility. How long are they holding on to it? Do they have a tenant? Is it vacant? And all of those things kind of determine how that facility will be maintained. So now they're taking the report that was created by AI, and they're just making those customer-specific tweaks to get it to the point where it makes sense for that specific building and that specific customer. So their job now is a lot more customer-facing. But to your original point, Dad, it's, yeah, I mean, it's probably at this point, we're probably about the same amount of engineers as when we were doing it the old school way.
Yeah, so somewhere around, let's say, 30 times, right? 30 times more efficiency on a monthly basis than the work you can do. Because of the investment in a lot of technology and artificial intelligence and drone scripts for drone pilots, all the things that you guys do that we do every day over there. And it's just a lot of fun. But again, it's just an example of Chris where ditch diggers got to get out of the way sometimes. I thought I had a pretty good idea. My customers love what we were doing for them, but we were doing about 50 million square feet of assessment a year. And I think we're up to 5 or 6 billion square feet from what I'm hearing now per year. Right. And that's going to just continue to go up. And so what it's done is it's given us relationships of trust with our customers that we've always earned a relationship of trust, but it takes time when you're a vendor paving their parking lots. When you're next to them building this technology and you're next to them solving their problems, I can tell you that it's amazing that the customer relationships that Austin and our team have gained with our customers, our sales leaders, our project managers gain amazing relationships of trust. Because we're always just looking to solve their problems on a constant basis at a price. Okay, we say how much we're getting done, but the price is about 5 to 10% of what it would cost with boots on the ground. So it's efficient, it's inexpensive, and it's amazing value to our customers. So, but that, again, that's an example of, you know, we get 50, 55, 60-year-old guys like me. I love business, but we need to get that young blood in there with today's technology to jump in. I'm just fortunate as heck. I'm part of the lucky sperm club because somehow this kid worked out to be a better fit than anybody else I can imagine. So that's not you. Lucky sperm club is usually supposed to be the kid, right? But in this case, it's me. So let's go to the other businesses and things are going on, and then we'll go into our plans, Austin and my plan and our team's plan to really partner with companies across the country.
Austin, I'll say one more comment about Site. I don't think we've made it through a podcast in the last 4 years without your dad talking about Site. He's very, very excited about it.
It's fun.
Yeah. So, we last talked 4 years ago, and you were the CEO of Site, founded this incredible company with, the sky's the limit. There's tons of opportunities here for growth, and you guys are expanding to, other facility needs. How did you make the decision to take the CEO role for the Raybine Group of Companies? You probably could have stayed with Site and made a lot more money.
It was tough because I loved what I was doing at Site, and it was a lot of fun. We had built a great little team, and obviously there was a ton of opportunity there. At the time my dad was, I think, looking at bringing, somebody from the outside, nobody particular yet, to come in and take on the CEO role at the Raybine Group so that he could kind of take a little step back and we started having some conversations around what that looked like. Obviously the Raybine Group and all of the companies, I grew up in it and loved the team that's here and felt really passionately about everything that was going on here as well. That I felt like, maybe I wasn't the most experienced fit or business savvy that he could have found, but I felt like I was probably the best fit from a culture standpoint. I had great relationships with all of the team here, and just felt like it was a good decision for me to come back and take over the group of companies at that time. Maybe a little sooner than we would have otherwise done, but yeah.
Nice. And how has that experience been for you?
It's been great. I mean, the first year was really hard. It was, like I said, it was, I think in January of 2020, I kind of stepped in and then shortly after that, COVID officially started. A lot of our clients' budgets were cut, and even the customers that were really busy and having great years, like the Home Depots and Lowe's and things like that, that were, hitting record earnings during that time. They completely cut their some of their programs because they were so busy that they didn't want us on their parking lot to slow down their sales. So it was interesting because we had a lot of just, you know, situations like that, that our customers were just completely cutting their budgets, whether because they, you know, because they were, had down sales or because they were too busy that they didn't want us there. So, you know, that was a big challenge for sure. And I think that, but I also think that that helped us look at the business and reset to a place where, that really allowed us to expand and grow profitably for the next, you know, number of years that we have. We had to make a lot of tough decisions around, you know, some people, you know, layoffs, unfortunately, and, that's always tough. And, we sold a lot of, equipment. We did an analysis on all of the equipment that we had in our fleet. We sold, equipment that wasn't being utilized. And so really we kind of got down to this core of the business that we were able to kind of launch, and grow from there. And then, you know, after 2020, 21, 22, and now 23, we've seen some really great growth where we've been growing profitably. We've been adding businesses. So, you know, since then we've added a mechanical business and that does mechanical and plumbing. We've added, in 2020, we started Rabine Paving Texas. So our Texas office that's out of Dallas. We started a roller compacted concrete business this year that's down in Houston. And then we're also in the middle of starting Rabine Builders. That's going to do some more vertical construction. So it's been a lot of fun. And I mean, like I said, the first year was really tough, but since then it's been a great ride.
And I can't imagine getting handed the keys and then less than 2 months later is the, you know, an unprecedented pandemic.
Yeah. Well, luckily we had, you know, we've got an advisory board. And of course my dad was, you know, chairman and still very involved strategically. So we all kind of work together with me and our CFO now and my dad and our advisory board who was great. I mean, we had, I think that when it first officially started, I think that we started off with like weekly meetings with the advisory board and then eventually got to monthly and then maybe back to quarterly, but it was really kind of like a all hands on deck, like, okay, what are we hearing? What are our customers saying? And what's the plan to make sure that we're in a good position through this, you know, through this entire, unprecedented experience that nobody had really ever been through. We were really good about quickly putting a plan together of, different tiers of things that needed to be done based on, you know, revenue benchmarks or sales benchmarks, that we executed on. And so I'm really fortunate that, you know, definitely wasn't in it alone. And, you know, the team that we have here is great. And they were, you know, very helpful and supportive throughout the entire process. And then of course, like I said, the board, our advisory board was a huge help as well.
That's amazing. So how would you say, your leadership philosophy and kind of idea on how best to run a company has evolved since taking the reins?
That's a great question. Still evolving and still learning a lot. I mean, I think that I've always kind of known, and this is something that my dad has definitely taught me throughout the way of, like, you know, surrounding yourself with great people and people that are smarter than you and better than you at, you know, their specific role or really, really anything. You know, don't be afraid to have people that are smarter and better than you around you. And that's, I mean, I think that that's been the most important thing throughout this entire process of making sure that, you know, we've got a really great team that is, they're in the good times and the bad times that are going to be there to support. I mean, I think that's been the biggest learning is just, like, you know, you can't do it alone.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you guys are expanding in a lot of exciting directions. How do you decide where the best opportunities lie, where the best places to grow are?
Well, so right now, I mean, we're really focused on the core business has really been paving throughout the last, you know, 44 years of being in business, and all of these other businesses have been growing and providing great value to our customers, but we're still kind of looking at the paving space and saying that's the direction of of continued growth, and then having these other businesses kind of follow along the way. And so so we're looking at different markets that we want to acquire businesses, little paving companies. And the way that we're looking at it is we have Raybine Paving America, which is our national paving business that works in all 50 states for large property owners and real estate companies. And so we have a good outlook and foresight on where our customers are growing, what markets they're acquiring facilities or opening new stores. So we kind of use that to understand where our customers are growing. And then we also, through that, because it's a partner network that we use to perform the work, we also have a really good insight on who the best contractors are in certain markets. And then even where maybe there's lacking of really good paving contractors. So we've got a good sight, on those specific markets through Raybine Paving America. And so right now we're looking at starting to acquire businesses in those markets that we like a lot. And what we've seen is with, the two greenfields that we did out at Maryland and then in Dallas, we've seen that we can drive sales and relationships, through our relationships into each one of those businesses and grow fairly quickly. And so as an example, in Texas, we started in 2020. This year, in 2023, we'll do about close to $25 million in revenue. So we were able to really kind of scale that business fast through relationships that we had here in Chicago or relationships that we had through Site or out at Maryland. And all of those larger companies, they have offices in those other markets that either if we don't already know that office, that we have a warm intro and they take the meeting and then we start to build a relationship really quickly. And so what we want to do is we want to avoid some of those growing pains of starting, from scratch, which are finding great talent. I mean, we go through a lot of talent and people to finally get to a core team when we don't have a big presence or name in the market. Also just understanding how the market operates from, the material providers to the trucking to, equipment, all of those different things that there's a pretty, there's a learning curve there that that's been the challenge. The sales have not been the challenge. It's really been getting that operational setup going. So ideally we find small companies that have a great operational setup, have a great team. They understand the market really well. And we can just come in with our relationships to start to drive sales. And then that allows them as an operator to just focus on running their paving business, right? And they might like running the paver. They might like being out in the field and running the jobs. They can focus on just paving and getting that work done while we handle sales. We handle back office. So accounting, finance, HR, marketing, all of that then rolls into Raybine Corporate. And even we were on a call today that it was a sales call and we had our general manager out at Maryland, Scott, he had said how great it is that, that he didn't have to worry about sales essentially. Now, we should all be thinking of sales and he does. He's always out there selling himself. But to a certain extent, sales are being driven to him and he just has to worry about, his mainly getting the work done. And I think that's what we want to bring to other paving companies in markets that we're not currently in. And then that gives us that self-performing presence. We have some more control over the customer experience, the safety, all of those things that we want to make sure that we're driving into those businesses.
That's great. So yes.
Hey, Chris, just to wrap that up, right? I mean, the differentiators we're going to bring to the table are going to be incredible. So take a mom and pop that's doing $5-7 million of sales, even probably as low as $3-4 million we might look at as well, who like to pave, they like concrete, they like asphalt maybe or whatever, but they're not like I was. Okay, for instance, I for sure loved paving more than I liked invoicing, collecting money, payroll and all that. I mean, payroll is a nightmare. I lost sleep trying to figure out how to make payroll on a Friday. Thursday, I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to make payroll on a Friday, right? I mean, those things, you know, all that back office stuff, we want to take off the hands if we can, unless that partner of ours, that new partner that keeps some ownership in this business loves that. Okay, that's fine. We can you know, make sure they're doing what they love. But in most cases in the paving industry, I find, and I think Austin does too, is the best of them really love paving, and they love, you know, delivering quality paving, parking lot paving, but they probably don't love a lot of the back office stuff. They might not even love estimating and sales, right? And so we can help with a great back office out of our, you know, our Rabine support center, right? And make them better, hopefully, as well as teach, you know, concrete pavements, teach a lot of things that we do to differentiate. And then also, right, Austin, marry them up with Site as a master license, you know, contractor of Site, giving them the bird's eye view on what our customers are thinking.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So one of the directions that we're going to go with Site and that we've been working on is, you know, the main focus has been to get property owners on the platform. Well, there's also, it's a great tool for contractors as well. And Rabine is starting to use it. And they're kind of, you know, being the first super user to test it out and, you know, make some changes to the platform. But essentially, you know, now they can either have a drone go out and scope a facility for them, get the, you know, have the AI produce a lot of what they need. And then now the contractor can turn around and deliver that same thing to their property owner. So they'll be able to use it as a tool, as a master licensee. And then of course, you know, they get, you know, we get a lot of that kind of insight that they'll be, you know, they'll be leveraging through Rabine as well.
So think of the difference. So Chris, think of this, right? We're very confident after building these markets outside of Chicago that we can grow those markets in 5 years to 25 million, that, you know, three through 5 years, we can grow 25 million on market greenfielding. So we're very, very confident that our support and our experts, our engineering and our back office, right? We're very confident with their help. We can take a $3 to $8 million company to $20 to $30 million, and I believe in 3 years, which it's not common in any industry you can grow that fast. But we're very confident we can, as long as we have the right high-quality people that really want to serve their customers, people that will live the core values that we believe in.
Yeah. Can you expand on that? I mean, obviously, this is an incredible opportunity for tremendous growth in a short amount of time. Can you expand about on like who you would be looking for, like who would be a good fit for this opportunity? What kind of favors?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that, you know, anywhere from, you know, on the low end of a $3 million, you know, paving company to, you know, could be up to 10. I think that 10 is probably a little bit, you know, a little bit too big. But I, you know, that smaller paving company that, you know, like I said, has a great team, has the equipment in place, and maybe not even all of the equipment, right? And it doesn't really, and it does also doesn't matter who their customer is, in my opinion. It could be maybe they're doing more municipal work or work with GCs, because at the end of the day, we're the ones that are going to bring the relationships with the property owners. So our customers are, you know, we're going to grow with, and we're going to bring those relationships to the table. So it's almost ideally somebody that's not, you know, that's not currently working with them. But of course, you know, that's the space that we're in. So a smaller paving company in that kind of in that revenue range, I think makes the most sense. And I think that we can drive the most value to, because we can grow to that $25 to $30 million very quickly.
Awesome. In any specific geographic areas that you're most interested in?
Yeah, right now we're looking, you know, down in Florida. So the Tampa area we're looking at Atlanta area, out in South Carolina. We've been having some conversations that we like a lot. So kind of that, you know, and also Nashville. So some of, you know, south of Chicago, we also like it because obviously you can work year round, right? So that's been a big value to having the Texas office, is having year round business. So we like that seasonality piece of it. And those are the first markets that we're initially looking at.
Yeah, and I'd say, Austin, we're looking at adding a couple markets in Texas to Rabine, Texas. We got some of our couple of our best leaders in that marketplace growing that, and we can throw a lot more on their shoulders, right? But yeah,
yep.
Lots of opportunity. Yep. This is Austin. I mean, I think you kind of mentioned it, right? We're going to be looking for partners across the country that will partner us to champion different marketplaces. I say champion because you get to $25, $30, $40 million in sales, you're one of the leaders in the market in commercial pavement maintenance. And we believe we can get in every market, we can create kind of a champion of the market, delivering the best quality, the best service, the most productivity with concrete and asphalt pavement, which is not common. But I also say that, it's that market of partners that we find that we can acquire some of their companies and keep them on to win with us as we grow them. And then the master license agreement you mentioned, facade maintenance companies and all that too, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that master license kind of agreement would expand not just paving, but it really opens up the market for them.
So Austin, you got all these businesses too. You got mechanical business going. You got doors and docks is kicking butt, and mechanical is growing nicely and doing well. The roofing business, snow business. What's your plan for all those?
Yes, I mean those are growing really nicely in the local markets. So we've got great people that are running those businesses as well. And I think that as we look at these different markets and we start to build relationships, it's going to naturally, those companies will naturally kind of follow suit, whether it starts off greenfielding in those markets that we've already got a paving presence in, or same thing, we look at acquiring. And then we've got Rabine compacted concrete that we just started, which is exciting. I think that's something that, again, kind of another tool for a paving company to be able to leverage and sell to their customers and in their market. But it's a new innovative, it's not necessarily new. Some of the things that they're doing now are newer, but it's, a really strong concrete pavement that we're going to be doing all over the country. We've got about 10 million worth of work lined up for next year already. And we just started this a few months ago. So it's a really great product that we can offer. So a lot of those other services and different innovations that we're bringing allow, whoever we partner with or, in those specific markets, they also have all of these different tools that they can leverage to sell to their customers down there too. So that's another, advantage of partnering with us.
Great. It's great.
So really, Chris, it's like we want to take these markets. We're going to champion each market we go into with a great partner, and we want to take what I would call when I was that size, and let's say 3 to 7, 8 million. I really was that ditch digger with the mullet and the cutoff sleeves, right? Just wanted to pave parking lots, and I want to take those ditch diggers. We want to create CEOs, right? We want them to be running businesses that are 25, 30 million in size that they have ownership in. And we help them with all the professionalism that we can give them and all the differentiation and innovation we can give them to be really first class CEOs. So that ditch digger CEO theme thing is going to continue when we do this.
Literal ditch diggers to CEOs. Love it. And what is the kind of ideal timeline here to add these 20 to 30 paving partners?
We're going to start to get pretty aggressive, about it, starting next year. Next year, I think my dad's talking 5. I think 3 is a good number to try to hit to acquire next year.
I'm just talking 2 or 3, dude. Maybe I was talking 5 at one point, but 5 is probably a little aggressive the first year. Yeah. We got to figure it out, but definitely within a few years, I think Austin will be ready for 5 to 7 a year, which is not be easy. So we got to be ready for it.
Yeah. Ramp up to it. I mean, we have to find a good team that can help, vet these partners and these potential partners, people that will be able to integrate them once we do bring them on board. So we got to put a little team together that's really going to focus on this acquisition strategy. I think, the first year, probably 2 or 3, and then ramping up, as we get better and as we kind of build a pipeline of these potential acquisitions, then I think that we can ramp up to that, five number a year until we're in all of the major markets and self-performing in all of the major markets we want to be in.
Yeah, sounds like a solid plan. So that's awesome. So that sounds like, 5-ish years, you'll get 20 to 30 of them.
You're
5 a year. So how does this, this is obviously a big chunk of your, next 5 to 10 year plan, but how does this factor into the overall 5 to 10 year plan over at Raybun?
As far as all the other businesses as well,
overall.
This is definitely a big priority as we look at what some of our competitors are doing and how they're growing. It's a big priority to make sure that we're staying ahead of them and we're expanding into these other markets. I think that we start to look at as these other businesses like mechanical and doors and docks start to mature a little bit really get a good hold of the Chicago market. I think that we then start to figure out what what their growth plan looks like, if it's greenfielding, if it's acquisition, in what markets they want to go in. We've got Doors and Docks has been traveling a little bit for some big customers. So they're starting to understand some different markets and work with national players. So they're looking at that. And then, we're going to continue to look at different ways that we can help our customers. This year we brought a new product to a big customer of ours that wasn't a program that they had before with Liquid Road, to be able to, they were looking for a solution that was not quite as expensive as an overlay, not as cheap or not as long or more longer lasting than a seal coat. And so we started to play around with some different products, and we built this really great program out for a big customer of ours that is going to continue to grow. So looking at where we can find those niches to be able to help our customers really build programs within what they're already doing to solve problems as they're growing. So, we're going to continue to just constantly listen, constantly be open to new technologies, new things in the industry, and grow that way.
So it sounds like you're offering these upcoming pavers the opportunity to, work with a top 1% company, but also, they can focus on their core work, and sales and innovation will be taken care of. Like, you guys have your finger on the pulse. You're finding the latest and greatest at all times.
Yeah, exactly. And even just this week, I was having conversation with, last week, was having a conversation with our self-performing offices. And we've got a cool kind of, new product that a drone company is coming out with, that it's a drone in a dock, basically. And we want to test out on some of our construction sites. So I'm talking to each one of them saying, okay, do you guys have any good candidates that are, longer projects, more than a month, that we could put this drone in a box on site and you can, fly it. I could launch it from my computer here if it was in Texas. And it flies around, takes all the images that I want it to. And then, I'm watching it as that happens. And so that's just an example of, something new that might turn out to be something that we use in the future, or maybe not, but we're always testing different stuff. We're always investing in exploring different technologies. So that's going to be something that these businesses will be able to tap into and have access to. Because it's just something that we naturally do.
That's awesome. It sounds like a really exciting opportunity and a great partnership, like a real win-win there.
So our goal is really to take these family businesses, most of them, right? They're going to be family business, probably, somebody that's been doing it for a little while that loves what they do, and really, invest in them and buy a large, majority of their business. But then their second bite of the apple will come within whatever, let's say 5 to 8 years, maybe 9 years at the tops. And their second bite of the apple is going to be way, way bigger than their first bite, even in a smaller percentage. because we know we're going to be able to grow them, you know, their value, we think 10 times the value that they're valued at today. And so it'll be a lot of fun to see the progress and the success and how it pays off to great companies. And we're going to say, you know, in our industry, there's about, I don't know what the number is today, Austin. When I looked at this a few years back, it was like 50,000 companies in the country consider themselves commercial paving companies. And so really, in the average size is a few million a year, $3-4 million a year in revenues. We want to take these companies, get to be top 1% of the industry. So basically, if you look at that, it'd be the top, one of the top 500 companies in the country. And we think we can do that. So again, we'll be interviewing these companies as distributor CEOs, top 1% companies. It'd be kind of fun, right? And I think we can do that. And by the way, so we're going to have to wrap it up pretty quick. But you know, my takeaways are, I realized where I learned all this stuff from. He said differentiation a bunch of times. He said solving our customers' problems, Chris, right? Yeah. What do I talk about? Where do you think I learned all that from?
Differentiation.
And solving customers' problems, right? And yeah. Austin, a few times, all those things. So yeah. I guess everybody knows now where I learned this stuff from, huh?
Yeah, I'm the one that taught him it all. No, that's been what's been you know, ingrained in our culture, because that's what, you know, what you had taught everybody, taught the leadership, taught, you know, that's really what you grew your business on, and why we're here today. So I mean, that's, you know, it's all the common words that we use every day within the organization still.
Well, the cool thing is now, I mean, when I spoke this type of language back years ago, I didn't have the money to really invest in it and differentiating it. If I could find something, right, it'd be a small investment. But nowadays, we're blessed that we have all these tools, and we've got all the ability to invest in technology innovation like nobody else in our space, in my opinion, almost nobody in our space. And so that's what's fun, is seeing you and you building this, continue to build this team with that same mentality. And you know, we're never going to stop. We're never going to be complacent. We're always going to keep reaching, and our customers hopefully are going to be well rewarded, as we are as well, right? It's going to be a win-win. Our customers are going to win. That's our first focus. Our teammates are going to win, right? That's our second. In the long run, our investors and stockholders will win. So it's going to be continue to be a lot of fun. What else did you get out of this punk kid, this 36-year-old punk kid? Hey, by the way, did you congratulate him for his Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year, Chris?
I hadn't had a chance yet. I was hoping to get to that. Congrats, man. That's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. It was went down to the national awards last week or 2 weeks ago. And it was in Palm Springs. It was a lot of fun. It was, didn't win the nationals, just a regional winner. But that's right. There's one guy that won that said that he won the regionals four different times, and then he just, you know, won a national award this time. So
cool. Right. Pretty cool.
That's great, man. Congrats.
Awesome. Yeah.
Gotta get your
locked in one. Yeah. I got a baby girl on the way in less than a month. Jeanette and I are rolling December. Did you know that, Dad?
What? I didn't know this. I didn't know this 4 years ago. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. How's she doing? How's she doing?
Good. Yeah, she's feeling really good. So we're excited, and we're ready for the baby to be here in December 15th of your day.
Lucky she's a beautiful woman, Chris. You know, like the little girl wouldn't have a chance if she looked like Austin. this mother this wife he's gonna have when they get married, their fiance. Is one beautiful woman, so that he's got good odds that this baby's going to look hopefully a lot like her. Let's hope so.
He's going to have to with a name like Gary.
Oh, that's right. He's going to name Gary. That's right.
Hey.
Boy named Sue, girl named Gary.
Gary Jr.
That was Geraldine or Geraldine or something like that.
Yeah, some different variations.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to get a little Gary Jr. on the pod here soon.
Yeah,
that's right. Okay, so what do you get out of this? Any other questions, Chris? Because we got to go pretty soon.
Yeah. I was just curious. You know, you're a member of YPO now. You're really involved in that organization. Your dad, you know, speaks very highly. I think it, you know, helped him tremendously grow the business. How has your experience with YPO impacted you?
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, I've been in for 6 years now. And yeah, so I got in, obviously I had seen, you know, and heard from my dad how much of an impact it made to him personally and professionally. And, you know, I think that some of the biggest growth years of the business, you know, my dad will kind of equate back to some of the relationships and things that he learned within YPO. And I've had the same experience. I mean, it's been phenomenal. I've got an awesome forum that we meet once a month, and all just really, really smart, ambitious people in whatever industry they're in. And again, you know, it's the 1% within their industry, and I get to learn from them constantly and hear their experiences about things that I'm going through. And so it's been really, really awesome. Not just from a professional standpoint in business. Yes, that is probably most of what, you know, what's discussed, but also personally and personal growth. So the forum, that's been great. And then, of course, we have, you know, learning opportunities. So there's different events that they have throughout the year that, you know, you get to meet some really, really awesome people. So, yeah, it's been great. I love being part of YPO. And so I'm in Windy City here, and then also a secondary chapter now down in Florida.
Yeah, you know, Chris, the only thing about this YPO thing is now these guys all tell him to quit taking so much garbage from his old man, and he needs to demand a hell of a lot more, and he's getting abused. The $50,000 a year I was paying him, what doing that, they said he needed to make at least 60. So
you're very supportive.
That's the risk you take, you know, opening up your leaders to leadership organizations, but I hope it.
Yeah, man, good luck with that that promotion, man. That'd be exciting. Awesome. Yeah, well, I took a ton from this. You know, it's just always great to catch up with Austin. You're doing some really exciting stuff. It's insane how much has changed in 4 years. We talk in 4 years, you guys will have another zero on your yearly income, yearly revenue.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we've grown a lot. I mean, I think probably, 2.5 times since 20.
I think it might be 4 times, Austin.
Yeah, like 4 from 2020.
100% in 4 years.
Yeah.
And all the business combined, right? I think it's about, if you look at it, it's about that, I think.
But, yeah. Yep.
Which is, you know, it's not bad. I expect a little more than that in the future. But Austin knows he's got that. He's got a responsibility. He's got to hit 600% the next 4 years. Otherwise,
we're ramping up. We'll get there.
Otherwise, he won't be up for that next $10,000 raise coming up in 4 years.
Yeah, man, you got to earn that.
Yeah.
A measly 4X in 3 years. Come on, Austin.
So what else do you pick up? What else do you pick up, Chris? What are your nuggets here? Yeah.
Oh man, so many of them. So, if you're working with a ditch digger and you can get them to be open to technology, you can 30x your output. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah. And the ditch digger wins too. It's a good deal.
Ditch digger wins big time. To maximize your leadership capability, make sure you have a great team to help you make decisions and manage the team. Innovate to serve. Your new slogan is that. There's a lot to unpack there in those three words. It's a very powerful sentence. I like it. Stay innovative. That's obviously incredibly important. And create great partnerships for maximum growth. Austin, where can our audience find out more about you?
One more you didn't get there that I picked up on. He got this totally for me, right? But when he watched me build business, and he didn't meet all the people around my business all the time, he said, "Dad's not that smart. How's he doing this?" And eventually he met people around me. He said, "Wow, that person is way smarter than Dad. Holy cow, that person is way smarter. The receptionist is way smarter than Dad." And he realizes now where that came from, right? He got that from me. That's fine.
Yeah.
It's true.
He said, hire people smarter than yourself, right? And that's definitely. Yeah. But a lot of people are afraid to do that. So Austin's always been really good at not worrying about somebody coming on board. He has to pay more than he makes that's working with him. And that's not always common. A lot of leaders are afraid to hire people that they think that might take their jobs, right? Or they might have to pay them more than they make. And that's a bad thing. You know, as a leader, Austin's always been one not to worry about what other people are making, even in many cases they made more. Even today, there's many of our key people make a lot of money, a few more than Austin, which Austin's good with that. He knows in the long run that he'll win if he hires great people that are invaluable, right? So I think that's a big point that I think anybody should live by.
Yeah. Well, I would argue that's the smartest thing you can do is hire people that are smarter than you.
Yep. Yep.
I agree. It makes your life a lot easier. Like, you know, the business grows faster. You got great people. You learn. And it's just makes your life easier.
Yeah. Amen. Austin, where can our audience find out more about you? Rabin.com?
Rabin.com. LinkedIn, Austin Rabin, or Instagram, Austin Rabin. Those are really the only two social media that I kind of use. And otherwise, Rabin.com is where our businesses are. And then sitetechnologies.io is the site website.
Awesome.
And if there's any paving companies in their market, in those markets we talked about, interested, then contact Austin or I through my social media or Austin's. All right. Any paving companies that want to be part of the master license agreements nationally, we'll be rolling those out probably the next 8 months to a year. I'm thinking, Austin, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at least. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us today. Awesome.
Thank you, guys. See you in 4 years.
Good time, Mr. Rabin.
All right.
See
you.
Yeah. So, hey, thanks, Austin, for being here. Really appreciate it. And it's awesome. It's awesome hearing stories of all these ditch digger CEOs we have on, but really nice to hear from my boy, and who I'm proud of being his father. I am part of the Lucky Sperm Club, and most people think Austin is. that's kind of, but I cracked myself up on that one. I didn't think about that. Thanks everybody for listening today, and until next time, see ya.
See ya.
If you enjoy this show, please share with anyone else you think will find value here. And please go to our website, ditchdiggerceo.com, for show notes, links, video clips, and more nuggets of entrepreneurial wisdom. Don't forget to follow me on social media at ditchdiggerceo. Paper routes, mowing lawns, cans.